Right. So basically, it was a rescue. The IDF have started the second stage of this war with a ground operation since 2 days ago. One of the objects of this operation is getting information in regards to hostages and securing them. Happily, they were able to do it with the case of Ori. A young soldier, Israeli soldier, who was abducted almost three, just a little bit more than 3 weeks ago. And they were able to secure her and get her out back into her family's, family and friends.
So, we've also heard today, too, that there was a Hamas video that was released of three hostages. I haven't heard much about that and haven't seen anything about this. I do think the Prime Minister mentioned their three names during a briefing a bit earlier. What can you tell us about that situation?
So from day one, we see Hamas playing psychological games with Israelis and with people all around the world who wants to see their loved ones secure. This is another example of how Hamas using the hostages in order to apply pressure because they know that the IDF is coming for them. That's only for us, it's a sign to see that it's working, the pressure we are applying.
So, speaking of the pressure, there is a growing amount of international pressure on Israel and the Prime Minister and the military to call for a ceasefire. And I heard the Prime Minister say a bit earlier that the U.S. didn't do that after Pearl Harbor, the U.S. didn't do it after 9/11, and Israel is not going to do this now. In view of the humanitarian situation in Gaza, and just the dire situation there, is there any opportunity for a ceasefire, or what would be the circumstance?
To be honest, I don't see any ceasefire coming soon. We need to remember how it all started 3 weeks ago with Hamas unprovoked, unprecedented attack of massacring 1,400 people, women, men, children, elderly, in the most barbaric way. We did not start this war, but we are going to end it on our terms. We want to see all of our hostages being released, and we want to see Hamas out of Gaza, eradicated. We want to leave Gaza without infrastructure for Hamas, in order for them to be able to fire rockets towards Israel. And they're still doing it. While we talk, there are red alerts in Israel because Hamas is firing rockets. So if we're talking about the humanitarian situation in Gaza, I guess they still have enough, just about enough fuels in order to fire more and more rockets toward Israel every day.
So, what then about the people that are caught in the middle? There are those that are saying that this is no longer about a war between Israel and Hamas, but it's bigger because of the what we've been told are 8,000 Palestinians that have died, and because the ground war is essentially expanding as the government has said. What do you say to those who are saying that this is a war on the Palestinian people?
I think that the Palestinian people are also better off Hamas. The people who is risking the Palestinians are Hamas. All the money they have received all of these years from their allies and different countries, instead of investing them in infrastructure and in order to make the Palestinian life better. What they did is invest them in tunnels to exercise their terrorist attacks, in launching fire missiles, I'm sorry, and basically investing in infrastructure to exercise terror. So I would say to the Palestinians, I feel your pain, but you also are better off Hamas.
So speaking of after Hamas, you know, there is a saying that if you break it, you own it. And I don't say that in a way to joke or to be flippant about this, but the Israeli government has said that it wants Hamas gone. So what will happen? How will Gaza be run after Hamas is gone? Because there's going to likely be a period of time, if you're successful in achieving this, that there won't be a governing authority. So how do you plan to handle that?
Okay, so that's a question we're thinking from day one when this war started. We know what we don't want to see, like you said. We don't want to see Hamas in Gaza. We don't want them to have the ability to threaten and to risk Israeli life like they do today. It's something we've been talking with our counterparts, Americans and other, in order to picture the day after Hamas is gone. And I think it really much depends on how the war goes. It's very dynamic. We need to see as we go what is the situation and how to handle it. But the end game is not to occupy Hamas, Israel, I'm sorry, not to occupy Gaza. Israel have no intention in staying in Gaza. We just want to make sure that our borders and our citizens are safe and secure.
So one more very quick thing. What can you, or maybe two, what can you tell us about the hostages that are still there? We saw an image today, and I haven't had this confirmed by anybody, of a young woman who was believed to have been a hostage, who is now confirmed dead, who was taken from the music festival. What of the other hostages? What's being done about that situation to try to get them released?
So as we saw today, the IDF is working to release them. To rescue them, obviously we can't talk about tactical operational details, but you can be sure that we'll do anything in our power, also through negotiation, through mediators, in order to get them home safe and sound. But I want to emphasize the responsibility is for Hamas. Bring them back home. Taking hostages, women, children, is a war crime. These hostages have not been subjected to visits, to medical treatment, to visit by the Red Cross, and that's a war crime.
Okay. Final thing. What about the Hamas leadership that's not in Gaza? What's Israel doing about that?
That's something we talk about with our counterparts in order to apply pressure that will help, you know, to eliminate the security risk and hazard, which is the Hamas terror infrastructure within Gaza. The goal of this whole war is to keep Israel safe from Hamas. And the military capabilities and the terror infrastructure, that's our main goal.
All right, Tal, is there anything you want to add that I haven't asked about that you think is important?
Okay. So just 1 minute. Okay. So what I want to say is we feel like some parts of the world, people are starting to forget how this war started. We didn't started it. We woke up one Saturday morning being attacked, unprovoked. 1,400 of my brother and sisters, basically in Israel, were butchered, massacred in their sleep, some of them, in the most horrible way. Since then, we learned how Hamas is glorifying their terror attack and calling upon every Muslim in the world to participate, to attack Israelis, to attack Jews. We see it happening and creating violence, not only in Israel, but all around the world. For us, it's a threat. We cannot allow to continue. We will do whatever it takes and how long it takes in order to eradicate this existential threat, which is Hamas.